My text for this evening is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now, because it is a school, what I intend to achieve is not just to impart knowledge, but a functional, practical knowledge that we can relate to. Okay? So, we'll begin from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Ye shall receive power. Now, the arrangement that is in this scripture, are you with me? Stay with me, okay? The arrangement that is in this scripture is this. What God wants to actualize from the investment of the Holy Ghost is power. But God does not give us power. He gives us a spirit. And He's expecting us to deal properly with that spirit and result in power. You see, He gives us the spiritual possibility. He imparts into us the spiritual possibility, the spiritual potential for us to achieve what He intends. Right? So, ye shall receive power after that. It means the first thing you will receive is the Holy Spirit. And if you know how to deal with the Holy Spirit, it will result in power. Now, we have a lot of scriptures to show that that is how God operates. He gives you, first of all, a spirit investment. For instance, your calling, what you call your calling. If you are here as an evangelist, if you are here as a teacher, if you are here as a prophet, first of all, what God does is that He gives you a gift. It is the gift that God gives you that makes you what you are in Him, what you will become. See, God finishes a matter in the spirit before He starts it in the natural. When He finishes a matter in the spirit, He sums it up in the Holy Ghost and He releases an impartation, a measure of His spirit as an investment in view of that which He has already done, which He wants to do in your life. Okay? So, the expectation is that you will eventually acquire power. But the initial investment upon which that expectation is based is an investment of spirit. Don't forget this. It's fundamental. Amen. There are many scriptures that we can open to show this pattern. We can open scriptures like Luke chapter 1 verse 17, speaking about John the Baptist. When Angel Gabriel came to prophesy about the things that will happen in the life of John the Baptist, the Bible says he will go before him in the spirit and in the power of the prophet Elijah. See, spirit first. If you deal properly with the spirit, you will now realize the potential that is captured in the spirit. However, for those of you that have been attending Bible study, I was able to show us that the word translated power in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is a unique word. It's dunamis. Dunamis has two fundamental meanings. Are you still with me? Stay with me. How many of you have an Android phone? Android. And you have gone to Google Play and you have downloaded a software from there. Have you successfully done that? Right. You see, when you go to Google Play and you download a software from that platform, Google does not determine when you use the software. The software that has been downloaded into your phone, you decide when you use it. You click on it when you need services from that software. That's how it is. The word dunamis means inherent. It has been downloaded into your system. So God is no longer responsible for determining the use of that investment. It is inherent. You determine when you use it. I know that sounds strange, Abby. According to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Bible reveals to us that the only gift from God that we can use at will is the ability to pray in tongues. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul said, I will pray in the spirit. I will decide to pray. How? In the spirit. Paul also said, I will pray in my understanding. Indicative of the fact that we can decide when to speak in tongues. That's the only gift that you can use at will. And why is it that you can use that gift at will? Because the day the Holy Spirit came in form of dunamis and was installed in your spirit when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, that dimension of power is what we call potential energy. And it was domiciled in your spirit man. It's no longer up to God. It has been downloaded. So it is when you decide to take advantage of his capacity, you now, like Paul, can say, I will pray in the spirit. Exactly. You decide when you activate it. You decide when you deploy the potential that is downloaded into your spirit. So it's inherent energy. That's the first definition of dunamis. Inherent. It's not up to God to decide when it is used. It is up to you to decide when it is used. Second definition of dunamis is potential energy. Potential energy. And you see, potential energy does not benefit anybody as potential energy. For instance, we have a lot of sunlight in Makurdi. If you buy a, what do they call that thing? Solar panel. You see, the sunlight we have is a form of energy. But you will not be able to utilize it. In fact, it can become an affliction. The sunlight can be tantamount to an affliction, as it is this day. Nevertheless, if you get some solar panels, you can convert that potential energy, that energy that is trapped in sunlight, and it can be converted using a solar panel and trapped in batteries. And you can use it for your fridge. You can use it to run your television. So potential energy is not useful to anybody as potential energy. It is only useful when it is converted from potential energy. Now, you see, Jesus is in your heart on the account of the fact that you have given your life to Christ. But, see, Jesus can sleep in the boat. They were crossing from one side to the other, and Jesus slept off. That means even though Jesus was there, they were not benefiting from the presence of Jesus. It is possible for the Holy Spirit to be there in your heart, and you are not benefiting from his presence. That means you have potential for deliverance. You have potential for intervention. You have potential for visitation. But that potential cannot be actualized because you don't benefit from potential energy until it is converted to another form of energy where it can meet a need. Now, so the fact that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit is potential. It is when you begin to take advantage of that potential that you begin to profit from that investment of God. You see, so there are four words in the Greek for power. Dunamis means potential energy. Now, speaking in tongues is the mechanism by which you convert this potential energy to kinetic energy, to functional energy. Are you with me? And I'm telling you today that according to Paul's submission in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you determine when you do the conversion. That means God is saying that it is up to you to decide how much of the Holy Spirit you want to invest in. Now, and I need you to understand something. If you are here and you have never prayed in tongues for 10 hours, it sounds big, Abby. But you see, the potential that you have can sponsor that kind of manifestation. If you make a demand on that potential that I'm going to pray for 10 hours, and you begin to pray, you realize that you will hit the 10 hours and probably go beyond 10 hours. And if you come the next day and say you want to go for 10 hours, you realize that the potential that you have can sponsor that activity. The system is inexhaustible. That's how everything that is a resource from heaven, like salvation, is inexhaustible. Everything that is an investment from heaven is an inexhaustible material. So if you decide to program yourself for 10 hours and you are determined to achieve it, that potential can support that ambition. Now, what I'm trying to make you understand, which I need you to really understand, is that God, the day you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can actually determine how far, how much capacity you want to develop on the account of that investment. And it is up to you, not up to God. Because I was a Christian for many years, and I never prayed for 10 hours. Then somebody now said, I prayed for 10 hours. Wow. So I went, I asked the person, how did you do it? Were you standing for 10 hours? I asked all the questions that would give me insight into how that was achieved. The person told me that he was lying on the bed and praying in tongues for 10 hours. I said, okay. So I went back home and I used my pillow. I spoke in tongues. So, just trying to exercise myself, I've discovered that I've spoken in tongues for 5 hours. So I exceeded the 10 hours that day. And I said I wanted to continue the next day. So the next day I continued, prayed again. I exceeded 10 hours the second day. I said, okay, let me continue. Meanwhile, prior to this time, I had the potential to do that 10 hours, but I did not know. Because it's not up to God. It's inherent. It's up to who? You get it? That's the kind of investment. So if at the end of the day in life you become small, it is not because God made you small. It is because that was the extent to which you made a demand on the potential energy that you receive. You see, hey, are you still with me? So it is not God's fault that you are like this. It is your fault. There is a pharmacist, he trained us in prayer in this town. In this town, I don't know, there's nobody that prays like that man in this town. I can say that and without going on research, and I will be right. Because as at the time I met him, with his busy schedule as a pharmacist, he was praying for 8 hours. He's the one that trained us. Hey! And like that, he just moves like a rocket. And after 1 hour, two hours, he begins to groan. He loses consciousness of himself. And he does that for 13 hours. He can keep going. He'll just be going. You know that the power by which this man is engaging in this activity is not natural. So he was the one that confronted us with dynamics of prayer and increased our appetite to pray. If you have never seen someone that prays, maybe you might leave and never explore your prayer potential. Your potential in the spirit may never be exploited and explored, except you see an example of someone that touched that potential a little. So the investment that God gives us, upon which He's expecting us to live out our Christian life, is a spiritual investment. And we need to understand that investment properly in order for us to deal properly with that investment and realize what God had in mind before He gave that investment. Just like I said, God finishes a project before He starts it with you. So He's not about to begin when He started with you. He has concluded it and wrapped it in His spirit. And then He now gives you to work it out. If you walk with the Holy Spirit, you will realize what God has already achieved. Because, are you still with me? But the point is this, the extent to which we see the realization of that which God has achieved is dependent on how much you are willing to exploit the potential that is available. Hallelujah. So for 3 days, I was able to pray for more than 10 hours. And on the third day, while I was praying, something like sleep came on me, and I was taken off for a few minutes. Then I saw a clear vision, and that was the first time I had a vision. Meanwhile, some of you are praying to have vision. See, visions dwell on an energy level which is far from the domain of the flesh. Okay. So it's not peculiar to apostles and prophets. It's available to every believer that is willing to explore the potential that we receive from God. And ye shall receive power. Power is one of the results, one of the achievable things in line with that potential. There are other things that are achievable in line with that potential. He just gave us one of the examples. Exactly. I saw my first vision that day. Then I now realized that, okay, the realm of visions is in an energy level that is quite high. To activate it, you may need to take advantage of this potential and navigate in the spirit to arrive where visions are customary. So that experience I had that day, having prayed for 10 hours, gave me insight into where visions can be found. They are found in higher octaves of the energy levels of the spirit. And only people that are desirous and willing to exploit the potential that God has invested us with will arrive at those points. Now, I now found out that even things like divine direction, you need divine direction, you want to know whether the person coming into your life is your husband, you want to check some things out, you want to know what next after you service, you want to know which city am I supposed to settle. You will ask those questions very soon if you have not asked them now. I want to tell you that divine direction is a possibility in the spirit, but it is domiciled at a high octave, at a high energy level. You will have to explore the potential that God has given you to a high octave before you pick something. Now, so it is needful for you to make a practice of exploiting and exploring that potential before a need comes for you to conduct an inquiry. If the first time you want to hear God is when you want to marry, you will not be very skillful in the octaves. And controlling spirits and familiar spirits can still interface your reception. You will not be skilled enough for you to trust what you will hear. But obviously you will hear something. You will hear something. But you see, we need to learn how to exploit that potential so that we can get a worthy conversion of the investment from potential energy to kinetic energy. That's when it is useful. Are you with me? One day, after those 3 days experience, I came back to school. I went back again to the same house. It's a house like that, you know, to go. I now said that day, I wanted to pray as much as I could pray forever. I started. Struggled a bit, struggled for 3 hours, struggled. And after 3 hours, the potential opened up very well. And I began to move. You know what? When I began to move, I hit a strand of revelation. A scripture opened up. So I had to rush, take my pen. And I began to write. Do you know what? As I began to write, the writing did not stop. I went there, and the reason for which I went there was I wanted to see how many hours I could pray. But that realm regulated me and then gave me a pen instead. Now, I did not come there to write. But what I touched in the realm now began to pour out in form of inspiration. And I began to write it. So I now discovered that there were so many streams that were locked up in that investment. Have you read that scripture that said, "He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow streams"? That investment has many, many streams. It's unfortunate that you have not found out. But I found a stream that was flowing. I had to use a pen to track down the things flowing. Meanwhile, the last time I came for 3 days, I left with a vision. When I came this time, there was no vision this time. It was just a stream of revelation. So I had to be... I'm still running on the potential. The potential has many expressions. Many expressions. That's how navigation is in the spirit. When God has pushed you to that point where you want to begin to explore what he has invested in you in the form of the spirit, he introduces you to diverse streams. That's when you find out the first thing about him that is called the spirit. It's experientially you find out. So my first experience of him that is called the spirit, in that my spiritual adventure, was that he was a giver of wisdom and a giver of visions. My next experience of him that is called the spirit was that he was the God of inspiration. I wrote things down that day that I never learned. Things that I was never taught. Hallelujah. Things that I never studied. It started coming up. It started coming out, and there were scriptures. No, don't do that. Keep it back. There were scriptures. There were scriptures that were coming. Scriptures that I've read 5 years ago, 4 years ago, the stream will flow and touch that scripture, and it come to my remembrance. And I was there writing. And I wrote till midnight. Hallelujah. And I went back. Then I'll make plans again. After a short while in school, I go back to that room. Because there was a family there. I said, Pastor, anytime you are coming, this is your room. So I took advantage of that room. And I found the Holy Spirit manifesting through many, many streams. And the problem is this. Many believers do not know how to take advantage of the investment. There are two likely possibilities that abound when we want to deal with the Holy Spirit. First possibility. Talk with me. Luke chapter 1, verse 17. I hope we'll be able to go far in this lecture. A lot of things. Still here, say amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 17. This is an utterance that came through Gabriel the angel. Just stay with me today. It's a long journey. It's an utterance that came through Gabriel the angel when he went to give perspective to Zechariah about the things that heaven has decided to do in his life and in the life of his family. And as we read, I'd like you to be careful with the reading. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make a people prepared for the Lord. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Now, listen. So, what God did, in order for John the Baptist to bring his full witness to that generation, was supposed to be brought by the operation of the spirit of Elijah and by the operation of the power of Elijah. But unfortunately for John the Baptist manifested the spirit of Elijah 100%. In fact, the spirit of Elijah and John the Baptist was so intense. That was when I discovered that Elijah's dress code was as a result of inspiration. Hallelujah. Because John the Baptist began to dress the way Elijah was described to dress. His dress code came by inspiration. John the Baptist expressed the spirit of Elijah full scope, even down to his dress code. But John the Baptist did not manifest the power of Elijah. That means in John the Baptist, the witness was not complete. The potential was not fully realized. He manifested the spirit of Elijah. And as we go forward, I'm going to show you what we call demonstrations or manifestations of the spirit. and I will also show you manifestations of power. That was what Paul was speaking about. He said, my speech, my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but with the demonstration of. Now, you see, you're not here. Demonstration of spirit. Have you asked yourself, what exactly does he mean by demonstration of spirit? His preaching was not complete outside of demonstrations of the spirit and demonstrations of power. Now, so the life of John the Baptist demonstrated fully the spirit of Elijah. The time that John the Baptist was manifested in ministry was equivalent, was almost the same kind of spiritual season with the time that Elijah was manifested and the kind of witness that Elijah brought to that generation. There was no way Elijah could bring that kind of witness effectively except he functioned in a particular kind of spirit and he also had the power dimension of that spirit to manifest. I hope you know the mass revival that took place, it took place on the account of the invocation of fire from heaven in the days of Elijah. And John the Baptist, the Bible says, was to go before Jesus in the spirit of Elijah and in the power of Elijah. But, the Bible says, and John did no miracles. I'm going to show you the symptoms that find expression that makes a believer ordained by God to fulfill a certain measure to live and die without actualizing that measure. And John the Baptist is that example. That's number one. So in this particular scripture, we query power. There is much of spirit. There's much expression of spirit. There are utterances that are spirit-based. There are directions that show that they are spirit-based. There are prophecies that went forth that show that this guy is actually in tune with the spirit of Elijah. But they were supposed to be demonstrations of power. Manifestations of power. And see, let me tell you something. Just in case your witness is like John the Baptist's own, and you were able to demonstrate the spirit that you are made up of effectively without the power of that spirit, there is a deficit of witness that has come to your constituency. Just like there was a deficit of witness that came to Sodom and Gomorrah. Because Jesus said that when he cursed the people of Chorazin and he cursed the people of Bethsaida, he said, if the miracles that were done in you were done in Sodom, were done in Gomorrah, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. That is to say that Gomorrah and Sodom can file an appeal. You are not with me. They can file an appeal that the judgment that God has declared over them is too overly grievous, in that the witness that came to them was insufficient. It was not dramatic enough in the expression of power to prove that God was omnipotent and there was none besides him. So there was a deficiency of witness in those territories. And those people will have the ability to appeal judgment. But that was not the case for Bethsaida. Bethsaida had the manifestation of the Spirit and also had sufficient manifestation of power. So Bethsaida will not have those claims on the day of judgment because the witness that came to that territory was complete. Are you with me? Now, so someone like John the Baptist that operates only in the spirit of Elijah will create a deficit for God eventually. Oh, you are not seeing where it is leading. You are not seeing the direction. Was that so complex for you to understand? There was going to be a deficit. And the way most of us are living our lives, we are living our lives in such a way that there will be no demonstration to our generation to fulfill our quota of witness. The prescription concerning John's life was that he will go before him in the spirit and what? In the power of Elijah the prophet. But there was a deficiency. He did not fulfill that mission. The witness was not complete. And his city can bring file an appeal when God comes upon them with heavy judgment. So there's a deficiency in the witness you brought. There were no signs for us to see. But Chorazin doesn't have that excuse. Because having seen the signs, they had no excuse, but yet they decided not to follow God. Their own case is different. But Sodom did not have so much opportunity. There were no signs to look upon so that they could judge their convictions. There was no opportunity. Witness was not complete to them. And I fear that the generation is about to evolve, that is already walking the path of a miniature manifestation. A kind of manifestation that is not consistent with prescription. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Stay with me. Let's keep it going. We have another situation. The next situation is in the book of Luke chapter 9. So we are going to study along these two lines. Are you with me in Luke 9? Turn your Bible. And he shall receive power. Luke 9 verse 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did? Without grant, without permit, that will call down fire from heaven as what? Elias. Did they say as John the Baptist did? They say as Elias. Now, notice the next verse after their request. This was Jesus' response. But he turned. You know, prior to this time, Jesus had no need to turn. He was just talking to them. But when they asked that question, he had to communicate not only with words, but with turning. The rest he said without turning. But when they asked the question, he said what? The Bible said, but he turned. And after turning, he queried something. He rebuked them. And he said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Now, stay with me. You are not with me. Now, the first scripture that we read, the query was on power. John the Baptist had a destiny to operate in the spirit and power of Elijah. But he operated in the spirit of Elijah. Did not operate in the power of Elijah. So there's a query on power in the first instance. These ones, they have access to the power of Elijah. But the way they wanted to deploy that power was inconsistent with the nature of the spirit that they had received. So in this case, Jesus did not query power. What did he query? Now, we are going to query spirit and query power. Hey, you don't see where we are going. Don't get lost here. Oh. We are trying to start the navigation proper. He said, ye know not what spirit ye are of. He knew that the manifestation indeed was similar. They had the ability to manifest the kind of thing that Elijah did. There was no problem with the manifestation. The power was on God. But what they wanted to use the power to achieve will express something that is not the nature of God. The context in which they want to deploy the power will manifest something that is opposed to the nature of the Spirit of God that is the foundation of the power they want to manifest. So it is possible for you to be using the power of God in such a way that is outside of the prescription of the nature of the Spirit of God. In that case, you are not forced because of the power manifestation. You are forced because the manifestation is not consistent with the nature
of the spirit that you are carrying.
Hey, you are not with me. Okay. Stay with me. It's a school. It's a school. So, we'll be patient for you to understand. Listen. For instance, with the gift of word of knowledge, you can know how much people, money they have in their pocket. Because God will reveal many things to you. Many things, many of which He's just telling you because you are His friend. Not because you need to use it to do anything. And so maybe you get to know how much people are carrying. Then you now say, that's 5K. Bring it. God is saying, bring it. Now, I want you to understand the psychology of the person that is the victim of this maloperation. The anointing is genuine. The revelation is from God. But the use that I put the generation to, the revelation to, was not approved of God. So this guy now sees God as a thief. Because he empowers people to know things so that they can take it forcefully. You see, I have not painted God in a good light by my manifestation. Because my manifestation is contrary to the spirit that I am of. That was why Jesus queried spirit in that context. Now, so I need to teach you what kind of spirit you are of. Lest you might find yourself doing something, the power with which you are doing it is accurate, but you are doing it in opposition to the nature of the Spirit of God that is the one empowering the activity. And when you operate like that, you are on the way to falsehood, because the Holy Spirit will cease supplying that power for that purpose. You will have to look for a support system, a spirit that will continue the assignment. That's the highway to falsehood. Okay, you can't take that one. Okay, so we'll leave it. Because if we want to investigate a false messenger of God, that's where we start from. But it's obvious you can't take that measure. So we'll leave that out. And then we'll now go. The day you are awake and you can take that one, we'll now begin on how to query spirit. The power is from God. We can't deny it. The way you did it was like Elijah did it in his time. We have precedence for this kind of oppression. The only difference between your own manifestation and the one that Elijah did is that Elijah did it in the spirit of judgment. The context was the spirit of judgment. And the context was that there were people that had turned from God and have gone to idolatry and false gods. This one, it is you that rejected, not God that rejected. You guys wanted to come into the territory, but they discerned that Jesus had in mind to go to Jerusalem. When they checked him, will you sleep? He said, no, my trip is to Jerusalem. Will you take water? I will drink water in Jerusalem. So, go. That was how it happened. Why did they reject him? Because his face was set as though he will go to Jerusalem. You will not sleep. We prepared. I will sleep in Jerusalem. Water too. Is Jerusalem water? You will drink. The pure water of Jerusalem. The people's patience was worn out. And they rejected him. That was the context. And then this one says, we have been waiting for one village to reject us so that we can invoke the dimension. This dimension we receive, we have not found where to use it. Now, this is a good situation, but they wanted to take clearance, receive clearance from Jesus before they operate. So that, shall we call down fire from heaven as Elijah did? Jesus did not speak first. Jesus turned first. It means he was talking first with his face before his voice. He turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not What spirit ye are of? Now, I don't have time to go into that. I'm going to jump that. What spirit ye are of? It's in the Bible study catalog. I've done that before. I just introduced it to show you that we can actually query power. Somebody can be operating accurately in the power of God. The power of God is genuine. The manifestation is genuine. But the motive behind the manifestation is contrary to the nature of the Spirit of God. And if you continue in that, we can't take that now. Because the way I'm seeing that's where I wanted to go. But it's obvious you are not ready. So we'll jump that for now. When next you are ready, we'll tune it down. Second thing I need to show you is what is power. And I need to tell you that the meaning, are you with me? The meaning of power in the natural realm is different from the meaning of power in the supernatural realm. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. What is power? What is power? Now, let me give you an example from a scripture. Luke chapter 11. Pastor Dan, what happened to these people? There's a challenge. Okay. That's why it's good to ask. I was wondering whether the person was sleeping. But there's a challenge. Okay. Luke chapter 11. These are the statements of Jesus. Verse 20. He said, but if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. Have you seen that scripture? What was the activity that took place here? The activity was that a demon was cast out. Let's assume that this guy, the demoniac, was a very terribly psychiatric, it was a psychiatric case, okay? And then Jesus now comes and casts out the spirit. And suddenly he becomes normal, comes back to his right mind. And then we will now begin to rejoice. He is healed. He is healed. The demons have left. We will begin to testify. Alright? Our brother that was mad has been delivered. That's what we will say. Is that not so? Okay. The facility by which he casts out the devil is called the finger of God. Now, I don't have time in this lecture to show you what the finger of God is. Finger of God. Finger of what? God. Notice in Egypt, when the miracles and the signs and wonders of the magicians began to fail, they conducted a quick inquiry. And by divination, they realized that it was the finger. Now, so we cannot discuss the finger of God today. But Jesus said, if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, you will say a miracle has taken place. You will say a healing has taken place. You write it in testimony bulletin how that the guy was a lunatic for 15 years and an evangelist came to town and he was healed. He went back to school. That's what you capture in the bulletin. But Jesus, an immortal Jesus, the spiritual Jesus, had another definition for power, another reason for which that activity took place. Aside the deliverance, aside the miracle, aside the testimony. Jesus said that this activity that you have seen now, the displacement of this evil spirit, is a sign, is a statement from the divine supernatural realm to all of you in the audience here, that what? The kingdom of God is upon you. Does it look rational? Every act of power is a statement from the mortal realm. Every act of power. And we must be able to discern the statement that is being made other than just rejoice in the change that the power has brought. I. This is my class. It's dull. Did you understand that? Obviously, this guy did not understand. We have not started the difficult ones yet. Right. Jesus prayed for somebody. The person is healed. You are testifying. But the statement that was made by that act of power, Jesus is revealing it to us. He said, this is a sign that the kingdom of God is upon. This displacement you saw is that a superior kingdom to the kingdom of the demons that has possessed this man has come. That's why the demon was displaced. Your emphasis is on the man is well. The man can go back to school. Glory to God. Jesus is telling you the meaning or the statement that power here that manifested, that you saw, that he has experienced, is a statement from the kingdom of God. And the statement that was made is that the kingdom of God has come upon you. Another kingdom has entered into the same airspace that the kingdom of darkness used to walk before. This displacement that took place now is just a sign that superior kingdom just showed up. So every act of power is actually a statement made from the mortal realm. Oh my. Is that too difficult? No. Okay. Second example on this subject. Because it is not just enough for you to know that somebody got healed. We must, for every time the power of God moves, we must be able to discern what statement the mortal realm is making on the account of that display. Lest you will celebrate the wrong things. Okay. Let me try to give you an example. Second example. Then I will now tell you a story. In the book of Matthew chapter 4, before Matthew chapter 4, after the baptism of Jesus in water, and he was also baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Bible says he was driven into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Isn't that true? And when he got into the wilderness, the Bible says in those days he ate nothing. Being tempted of the devil 40 days, and in those days he ate not. And when those days were ended, the 40 days of trials, that the Bible never revealed what kind of trials Jesus was subjected to. When those days were ended, the Bible says that the tempter showed up again on the 41st day. And said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. What was Satan saying? We heard you are advertising yourself as the Son of God. Meanwhile, it should be on record that where I'm coming from, where I'm king, we don't have that knowledge. However, if you want to solve this problem, just turn these stones to bread. I will know you are the Son of God. So I will take the message back to the underworld where my domain is and say, there is one Son of God there. So Jesus did not obey him. Because Jesus was not under any pressure to prove his status to Satan. Are you with me? Just stay with me. Don't be distracted. Stay with me. You know why Jesus didn't do it? If Jesus had done it, Jesus would have become Satan's subject. I know you know that. Because the third law of the Spirit is that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, servants of him you shall become. So Jesus would have become Satan's servant from that day, just like Adam became Satan's servant. And then Satan will look to God and say, you sent Adam, I got him down. You sent Jesus, I got him down. Send another one. We are waiting. Now, so Jesus did not obey. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So he trivialized bread in the face of his hunger. He said, there's another food of which you are not aware of that man was designed to live by. So I'm surviving on that food yet for now. The words that proceed from the mouth of God. God did not tell me that I need to eat now. So I'm living by that bread. And I'm sure you are not aware that there is another bread for man. I'm surviving on that and may not need bread so desperately at this hour. You know what? Jesus knew that the way the immortal realm makes a statement, it's not by discussion. If the immortal realm wants to make a statement, they invoke power. Are you with me? So, at least we can deduce from Satan's statement that in the regions where Satan operates, they have no knowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. We can deduce that. Okay. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 1. Stay with me. Don't get distracted, okay? What is power? Romans 1, 1 to 4. Romans 1, 1 to 4. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Let's be taking these verses one by one. They are a bit technical. So we take them one by one. Are you with me? All right. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. There was a unique message that Paul was called to preach. And Paul called that message the gospel of God. Now, the gospel of God is what is captured in the book of Romans. Are you with me? The subject of that gospel is concerning Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. It came through the hands of David. And the reason why Jesus came through the hands of David was because David was the first king that ruled and exemplified the kind of king that God was. I don't want to go into details. He exemplified his style of rulership, revealed the kind of king that God was. So God now cut a covenant with him, the covenant of David. And the terms of that covenant was that it was through his loins that the real king, the true king, the greater king will come from. That was the essence of the covenant of David. Are you with me? I don't have time for us to digress into that. So according to the flesh, Jesus came as a son of David. Verse 4. But was declared to be son of God with power. I told you that power is a means by which the mortal realm makes a statement. So Jesus was declared to be son of God with power. This power was sponsored by the Spirit of Holiness or the Holy Spirit in the event of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. So resurrection was a statement that was made to authenticate the status of Jesus to the underworld. Notice that Satan, when he came, he said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. But that's not how the immortal realm declares a thing. So Jesus did not yield to that temptation. This was how the immortal realm now responded. In order to authenticate the status of Jesus as Son of God, the way the statement was made was a declaration of power that was captured in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That was how the immortal realm made known to the underworld the supremacy and the status of Jesus. It was an act of power. It is that act of power that resulted in the resurrection of Jesus. Is that clear? Did you get it? Now, so power is a means by which the immortal realm makes a statement. And God said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, because through you as a vessel, the immortal realm wants to be making statements, valid, credible statements through your vessel to the kingdom of darkness and to the environment around. You are going to be a vessel of spiritual declarations. That's what God has set you up to be. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Did you get that one about the resurrection? That resurrection, he was declared to be Son of God by power. So power was the means by which his status was declared. And that declaration took place in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The Bible says, having spoiled principalities and powers. Have you read that scripture? He made an open show of them. Now, that open show of principalities and powers took place in the resurrection. Because Satan was trying to ensure that Jesus did not resurrect. And Satan saw a display of power in hell that bested every knowledge of power he knew that God had. Something beyond his own imagination of God's capacity was what manifested in hell that day when Jesus was retrieved from the dead. So that activity spoiled principalities. You must have heard me talk about aquedomai. Principalities and powers were rendered naked and they submitted at will. It's not as if somebody begged them to submit. When they saw those dimensions of power, Satan and his cohort submitted naked at will and acknowledged the lordship of Jesus and how that he was so the Son of God. So it was a declaration. Are you with me? So the mortal realm doesn't just come to speak. If they want to declare something, they do it with power. So power is a manifestation of the declaration coming from the mortal realm. So when the Bible says he shall receive power, it's big business. It's not what you think. Because many of us are looking for power to add to our ego, that if I can just be that power, my Jesus. You are desiring it for the wrong reason. That's why it won't come. The mortal realm wants to make a declaration. And that's the reason for power to them. You must also understand that reason for power. And that is when you can pray well. You can pray well. You can pray well. Did you get it? Okay, let's make progress. Now, the lecture starts now. With this foundation, the lecture starts now. I need to show you 5 walking definitions, 5 functional wisdoms that you need to know in dealing with a spirit being. You see, God decided that he will give us an investment, spirit-based investment, which is going to be the basis for our realizing some potentials in him. He shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon him. So it's a spirit-based investment that God gives us. And one of the things is expecting to manifest through us upon the realization of the potential of that investment is power. You get that? And so if you don't know how to relate with the Spirit of God that is in you, you will never result in power. You will be like John the Baptist that will operate in the spirit of Elijah but never see the power of Elijah. Hallelujah. The second section, I'm going to leave it where spirit was queried. I will leave that second section. So when we are talking about identifying false prophets, we are going to invoke that clause again. And then we'll look at that. Hallelujah. Okay. So there are a few things you need to know about relating with the Holy Spirit. Now, we have done some of them in Bible study, so I will not do those ones again. Get the message from the catalog. We spoke about, number one in the catalog, we spoke about a man that must operate intimately with the Holy Spirit must understand one basic thing, that God did not create us complete. He created every one of us incomplete deliberately. And only the Spirit of God can complete us. The scripture from whence I drew this my understanding from is Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 28. The scripture says the Spirit of God helped our infirmities. Now, we were created with infirmities, created with limitations, created with weaknesses, and it was deliberate. Because God intended that we'll find completeness in the resources of His Spirit. If you don't know that you are limited, you will try again in the flesh. And when you try in the flesh and you try to contend with the spirit, a situation orchestrated from the Spirit, you will fail 7 times. And when you hear the righteous falleth 7 times, those are not stage managed fallings. It's not like that he planned to go and fornicate 7 times. No. What that scripture means is the reason why the righteous fell in the first place was because the righteous was trying to contend with a situation that was spiritually activated. He was trying to contend with this situation from the resources of his flesh. So he will be startled with the outcome that his strong will could not set him up for advancement. And he will learn that again and again and again until he comes to a point where he no longer has confidence in the flesh. When he no longer has confidence in the flesh, he will be looking to the Spirit for his completeness. That is what that scripture means. Not that he's hunting for opportunities to fall, because the Bible says the righteous falleth 7 times. 7 there means complete. He will keep falling when he takes advantage of the resources of the flesh to prosecute a spiritual situation. He will find consistent incapacitation until the knowledge of his infirmity is registered permanently on his heart. And then he now knows that he can now have no confidence in the flesh. The Bible says we are the circumcision that worship the Father in spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus our Lord, and we have no confidence in the flesh. You are quoting. There is nobody that yields to God, that submits to God, that was not conquered. Don't think that because I'm teaching you now, you are better than somebody that is not here. No. The only thing that will happen to you is that you are enlightened. And the enlightenment will put you in a position where it will be easier for you to yield when you see the government of God stretched forth on your life. Hallelujah. So the righteous will keep falling. He will keep attempting and falling. You see, the children of Israel conquered Jericho, and it was a mighty military feat. That was when Joshua's fame went out. He became a big soldier. He became a strong monarch. His name transversed the territory. Then the next battle was Ai. He said, no, you guys go and clean up that place and come back. That's the righteous. He became victorious because he leaned on the Spirit. And then the next time he comes out of the Spirit and said, it seems I'm knowing this thing, you know. And then he goes in the flesh. Then he is defeated again. And if you need to be defeated 10 times in the flesh for you to get the lesson that you can have no confidence in the flesh, then the righteous will fall 10 times. Do you get it? And he's righteous, no problem. But he's trying to actualize the intent of God using the resources of the flesh. And the first thing you must know in dealing properly with the Holy Spirit is that we were created with infirmity deliberately, and only a Spirit can complete us. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. The Spirit helped our infirmity. Hallelujah. I remember it was a night vigil. Sometime in school days, and when I showed up in that night vigil, oh my, I did like this, and people went down. I did like this, people went down. I did like this, people went.
Jesus. And that was the first time I was seeing it, and I loved it. Then the next night vigil I was invited for, I said, I know the way. I came. This time I dressed better. And I did like this. It didn't work out. You know why? It was in the flesh. And the righteous must fall as many times as it is possible for him to learn the lesson that he cannot have confidence in. So that seven there is not number seven. That seven there is the gospel according to numeral. Seven means complete and perfect. If your own seven means 42 times, you will go in the flesh 42 times. It's on the 42nd time that you will now acknowledge that, Kai, oh boy, this ain't no the work. That 42 times is your own seven, complete. So the scripture doesn't mean that the righteous will be hunting for a woman seven times to commit fornication deliberately. No. That one that is going to sin willfully, his own case is different. And this is not the lecture where we'll consider his case. His case is a strange case. All right. So don't put scriptures in order. You that need to fail in the flesh 104 times, that 104 times is your own seven, is your own complete lexicon. To now come to the knowledge of the fact that the flesh profited nothing. So a man that has learned that lesson has become the circumcision. He took those seven times of falling for him to arrive at the point of circumcision where he doesn't have the ability. Through that circumcision, he no longer has the ability to trust in the flesh again. So he has been sentenced to only one kind of oppression, the worshipping the Father. How? In spirit. You see that? That's a man that understands that he was created with inadequacies and only the Spirit of God can complete him. I know most of you still trust your beauty. That when I come out, when I come out. Hey. In order for God to help you quickly so that your number seven will not take 1,400 times of failure, he will allow you fall from Okada, and it is the face, half of the face, that will go down. To shorten the time of he has to puncture that beauty, and then you will now come to your real mind, and then become the circumcision quickly. May you not have to go through affliction before your own seven, your cyclical sevens are accomplished. Every time a believer goes out in the flesh, the result will be the same. So if you have realized that, you will spend more time in the place of prayer to secure the voice of God. That is the only victory that you can have every day. If you are going to live the victorious life, you are going to you will come to that point where it's no longer a waste of time for you to seek God, because that's the only way you can live above the systems of this world. And such is the way of the circumcision. So when you find a man still going out in the flesh sometimes, he has not become the circumcision yet. He still has confidence in the flesh. His wilderness journey will continue. The angels are still counting. He's still on number four. He has not exhausted all his opportunities that will bring him to that common knowledge that the flesh profits. That night vigil that I was stretching hand and nothing happened, I felt like dying, and then let me just enter into the, just let the ground just open, then I just enter. But you know what? The ground doesn't open those days. The ground will be there. So that it will facilitate your number seven quickly. That was where my own number seven got to. I arrived at seven that night. From five. That event was two steps already. Boom. I was at seven. I left there ashamed of myself. I arrived seven. So I was not going to try in the flesh again. So I now went back to God. You know, the first time when I moved and I was doing like this, people were called. I didn't ask God. I didn't go back to say, Alpha. But I just loved it. I said, wow, Jesus.
and then I put suit on the next time. I say, oh, glory. I'm here. From 5, the team became 7.
I've never been that broken before. I went back to the cave, broken. I know God won't answer you quick. He will allow you there for a while, so that you can contemplate how you were in the sheep coat before they took you. In the sheep coat. So that's the first thing you need to learn if you are going to walk with the Holy Spirit. Like, I don't try in the flesh. If I don't have an answer to something, I will leave it. If I seek God on the matter, and he's not speaking, I will say, Oga, nobody will try you. Abba. And then when I'm doing my own thing, it will just come. I say, that thing you spoke about, this is it. I say, eh? I say, yes. Oh! And I've learned by experience not to ask him, why didn't you answer since? I've learned. Learned by experience. Hallelujah. And then before I come out for a meeting, it's just that today, I don't know. We started well. I'm still waiting for him. When he comes, me and him will talk. I can be preaching and talking to him. Are you with me? I can be preaching to you and what? And then, you know, sometimes he will tell me, oh, you know how I will come today? When you get there, they will give you water in a bottle. Don't drink it. It's not for drinking. I will use it to bless people. So I'll be preaching. Then the usher will carry water. See, the water has come. Okay, carry it. And sprinkle it on the first row. Wait for what I will do. So I took the water. I sprinkled it. And then, you know what happened? 2 asthmatic patients were in that first room. And when the water came upon them, they began to manifest the symptoms of asthma. Intense symptoms. Then the man said, rebuke the spirit. That's how I want to walk today. In fact, that water worked that day so much that a pastor was there, and a pastor came and said, pastor, don't finish the water. Don't venture finish that water. Hallelujah. And he went and showed me a land he bought in the heart of Zaria. And the Muslims were fighting over the land. He said, don't finish it. In fact, when we went to the land to sprinkle that water on that land, the way he held the water was as if it came from heaven. But you know what? If you go the next day and take water, you will arrive number 7 that day. And guess what? The Muslims did not only run away from the land after that. The money came for him to build that church in that place. But that day, that was what he said. So every day you have to seek him out. Yes. Lest you become a victim of the flesh. If God were a formula, all of you would have known him. I know most of you are good in it, you know. He is not. You will seek him out every day. His location changes every day. So you have to depend on the Spirit to navigate you to where he's domiciled. And you must hear words from his mouth. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that what? Proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, so that's the first lesson. Second lesson. I have taught these things in detail. It's there in the archives. Second lesson that you need to learn. You see, when the Holy Spirit begins to respond, are you with me? Now you know you can no longer operate in the flesh. Now that you have discovered that operating in the flesh is tantamount to a waste of time, that discovery is the discovery upon which what we call the life of prayer is based upon. The fact that you know now that you are the circumcision that worships the Father in spirit, you rejoice in Christ Jesus, your Lord, you have no confidence in the flesh,
That knowledge sentences you to what we call the life of prayer. Because it is in prayer that you can maximize your romance. You know, you are sentenced to a life in the spirit. And it is the life of prayer that is the romance between you and the Holy Spirit that can maximize His favor. Okay? So you sentence yourself to a life of prayer. If you have gone through this school, you should know that there's no option for a believer other than prayer. Because you want to get spirit input. That is what guarantees your victory. So you are sentenced to a life of prayer. If anything happens to you, maybe somebody threatens you and say, you go see. Life of prayer. Maybe in the office they say, okay, you will see when they will promote you. Life of prayer. Every challenge you have in life is supposed to push you to the place of prayer. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, through prayer and supplication, coupled with thanksgiving, do what? You are not with me. You are not with me. You are not. You see, there's a positive reason for trouble. Positive reason for suffering. The positive reason is that when troubles come and when suffering comes, a man that knows that he cannot navigate in the flesh runs to his stronghold, which is the place of prayer. Every trouble should take you to the place of prayer. Every trouble. There are two alternatives of what you can do in the midst of trouble. One, you can languish in anxiety, or you can attend to prayer. But by commandment, he said, be anxious for nothing. Don't exploit the alternative of anxiety. Let the pressure take you to prayer, even supplication, coupled with thanksgiving. The next verse captures the response from heaven. He said, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your heart. When that happens to you and the peace of God comes into your vessel, it gives you inoculation, it gives you insulation against every possibility of anxiety. You are not with me. I was thinking that when you pray about the situation, God will come and change it. That's not the first thing God does. The first thing God does is that He changes you by ministering peace to your heart. And that peace that you receive in your heart is actually the peace that is in heaven. So He ministers a measure of it into your heart by His Spirit. And then when that peace is there, because I know there have been times I was hungry, no food, nowhere to get the next 1 naira on campus. But there's this peace in my heart. And I can pass through any circumstance. I can pass through any situation. Now the peace there is the shock absorber that God releases to you so that you can survive the situation. And then you will now discover that there's no situation that is so big that the God within you cannot take you through. God must give you that experience. No, not amen. Wait. God will not change the experience. Change the circumstance. What He will do is that He will give you peace, the ability to go through it and survive. That's when you'll be able to understand that problems don't kill. What kills is anxiety. Because anxiety will open the door to worry. Worry will open the door to depression. Depression will open the door to sickness and infirmity. No situation can kill you. Okay, you finish your service, you don't have a job. That's why you're anxious. Your anxiety, your situation of joblessness will push you to God. That's where I got my own job. I went on a 13-day fast, to fast and pray, to find direction from God. What do you want me to do? I've finished youth service. He said, go back to where you served. You have not finished from there. And I went back. And all the training I received for the initial takeoff of ministry, I got it in that place where God sent me back to. Yes. We went to Bible school, but the Bible school we went to did not prepare us for anything in life. We quoted scripture. And when we met the devil, we had nothing to answer him. So in keeping with my desire to become skilled in my work with God, God decided to post me to a place. And then after 12 months, I packed my bag and ran away. He said, there's no next level for you. Go back there. I know most of you are looking for next level, next level, next level. There is no next level. Go back. The last instruction you receive is still valid. Yes. So I went back and spent another 1 year, 4 months there. 8 months in that 1 year, 4 months, he came to me and said, okay, I'll give you a job. I said, I'm not asking for a job. What I ask is that I know I'm called. Show me which ministry to go and work. Go and serve. I'm ready to serve. You have been haunting me all these years. Now I've come to say I want to work. You are no longer interested. You know what? A job. Job. In fact, I didn't thank him for that prophecy. Say no, it's not job now. Meanwhile, before my father died, he called me, said, I have released you. Serve God. Serve God. Be the prophet of this house. He spoke and blessed me to go into ministry. So I was ready to die. Then the great one said, I will give you a job. I said, okay, this job you say you will give me, we'll see how it will come. Because I've been doing missionary work in Kano. Until one evening, my brother called me and said, young man, your name appeared for an interview in Abuja. I know you won't believe that one. Because I didn't apply. Interview. Say yes. And I have the letter. I've received the letter from the place. The letter that is giving you right to partake of the interview is with me. Would you? How did they spell my name? Say, the way I know your name, that's how it is. Those days I had only one suit, my white suit. So I wore it and came for interview. And it was true. There was an interview. See people, see heads of people that want job. Ah. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, I passed the interview. And I got the job from my... That was when the things that God told me came back. I will give you... Sentence yourself to the life of prayer. Your parents will complicate your life. They want, most of your parents don't even know your destiny. In trying to bring tender mercies and love to you, they will corrupt your destiny. You see, your parents can't like you more than my own like me. Eh? Because they felt I was mad when I said God said I should go back to Kano. Then there was riot in Kano. You are mad. Hallelujah. Because they wanted to protect me. But the great one, great monarch said, go back to Kano. I don't know what happened to them. One morning they said, come and go, come and go, come and go. I said, you have agreed, or is it that you felt I was not happy and you want me to be happy? That's why you say I should go. Say no, we have released you to go. So I went back to Kano and then saw my disciples. They were fasting. They said, bring that copper back, bring that copper. Now I do this. Bring the copper back. Bring the copper back. That was where I started teaching the Bible. And leading people to pray. We started 2 hours prayer. The prayer became 4 hours. After a while, 4 hours prayer was no longer sufficient. We increased it to 5 hours. After a while, we said, wait. This prayer, on Saturday, let's gather. So we now started the prayer 8 o'clock in the morning. It was 4 o'clock that the Holy Spirit released us. 8 to 4 every Saturday. Then we do the 4 hours on other days. 8 to 4 on Saturday. 8 to 4. We did that for like 2 months. Then one day we came to our fellowship. Somebody was leading prayer. I was praying somewhere. And then I felt as if something broke from my head. I looked. Everybody was busy praying. Say, hey. When I came to preach that day, I was still introducing the message when people began to fall. And some of our choice members in the fellowship began to utter words inspired by demons. That thing that broke from my head was the thing that they used to seal up the fellowship. The fellowship was closed.
there was no fellowship. But in the natural, we were doing co-co-co-co-co-co-co-co. That day, something broke from that place. So the witches that were in the fellowship, that were managing the pulpit, they did not know, get the new version, that the fellowship has been opened. So they came to church. Demons spoke out of people that day. And the fellowship was released. That was when fire began to burn on that altar. The fire on that altar, oh man, was so intense that from that altar we started doing crusades in Kano. There were crusades, 1,000. The first 1,000 I preached to in my life was during those times. The number of people that gave their life to Christ when I preached that time was 520 people. The first time in my life I prayed for a cripple and the person began to walk was that time. Yes. A cripple began to walk. I had not started preaching. He just began to walk. I didn't understand what was happening. So that is to show you that I had nothing to do with what happened. A cripple began to. I don't know. I have not been doing crusade for a long time. And that shame on me. But when I knew nothing. I saw cripples walk on the crusade ground. That's why next year we have to enter crusade ground again. They will demote us to class 3. Let's start learning again. No problem. I'm sure of where we are going. We started doing crusades. And people got healed. Mad people got healed on those grounds. It became evident that Islam suffered a loss because my counseling room, they will bring Muslim women will come with hijab and look like this, look. And there's nobody. They'll enter. Then when they enter, they will remove the hijab and say, I'm dying. Me, I'm dying. I said, you are dying? Jesus. And those were the days when I was a seer. As you are coming, I'm seeing. I was as lean as a broom. Our code was fast, but don't die. Fast. But what? As you are coming, I see it already. I see it. We led Muslims to Christ. We didn't keep the number. I know people that they brought to us for deliverance. They were daughters of influential people. Their malams could not cure them. It was in that hour, and they will wait till nightfall so that nobody will know with hijab. Deliverance. Signs and wonders began to take place. Hallelujah. But it was not because strong men came, but it was because we really depended on the Holy Ghost and we gave ourselves to prayer. Now, if we decide here now that we're going to be running a 24-hour prayer chain for 2 months, we won't have this number. No. I can assure you we won't have this number. We'll have like 7 people. But if those 7 people continue sentencing themselves to a life of prayer, what you will become, you will be afraid of what you will become. We were praying for people that were falling down. One guy was now standing there and say, that they push them. So I now brought our small disciple. That guy was the smallest person that follows us for prayer. If we do 8 hours, he does 8 hours prayer. So I laid hands on him and said, go and lay hands on that guy. So as he was coming, the guy now did like this for him because he was a short guy. The small boy did his hand like that and touched him. It was gutter that he... The guy was 12 years old. He was a prophet. That small boy was a prophet. When he begins to prophesy, you know that this one can't fake this. Prayer opened his spirit. I went back to Kano and I started looking for that boy. Where is that boy? You know, when Boko Haram struck there, they were displaced. But the families of our disciples, none of them, 220 people died in that place. None of them was affected. None of them. None of them. We went 8 hours prayer. This guy will be there. That small guy speaking in tongues for 8 hours. He did like this. And the guy fell off into a gutter. And it's not as if he recovered himself quickly. He tried. He fell well. So, he remained there. And thought on his sins. He thought on his sins. Sentence yourself. Friends, next year, we'll give ourselves to prayer. Let's come back. That your boot you hang. Go and get it back. We'll pray. And you will see that God is looking for ordinary people to use to do extraordinary things. I don't know how many people, influential Muslims, they brought their children. We cast all kinds of violent spirits from them. All kinds of spirits. Some of them, as they bring them and they just see us, they just say, the spirit. Spirit goes. Without prayer. Without prayer. Some of the women will come and they hide something in their heart. As you hide like that, is that one you are hiding? We'll start with first. And they will give their life to Christ. The idea of the whole prayer chamber was to lead Muslims to Christ. We led people to Christ everywhere. And there were many secret disciples that began those days. Until an event happened. They started looking for me in Canada. Looking for me. Looking for me. Looking for me. Hallelujah. It was a strange case. Amen. One night, Holy Ghost said, pack your bag tomorrow and head for Naibawa Street. He said, pack your bag, head for Naibawa Street. So I just picked the bag. And I strode. That was how I escaped. But details with her. Details with her. Details with her. So when you sentence yourself to a life of prayer, you will not believe what you see. Number three. Hallelujah. A spiritual man will fast often and pray much. When we start the fasting for next year, that one is to sharpen the axe. Because next year we are going back to the field. And the way of the field is different from the way of in-house ministry. The way of the field is rugged. You need to have prayed up capacity. Hallelujah. I remember we were doing a crusade and a mad woman, she's violent, began to come into the crusade. The ushers ran. And the woman came straight to the pulpit. So when I saw she was headed to the pulpit, I went to her. The moment I came, she got angry and she gave me a slap. You know, when you see cartoon and they draw star, the person that invented that thing has experienced it before. I was in stars. Thank God I didn't fall. I was still okay. I was standing well. When my sight came back, I lifted up my hands and I called Jesus. That Jesus I called, she was thrown and fell off. We left her. I continued preaching. Do you know that lady was healed? That thing that happened, the spirit violently left. But we did not know. It was when her father came to give offering. Her father is an ustaz. Yes. I was passing on the road, he called me to a corner and took money on. I was wondering. Because it was a very strong ustaz. It was his daughter. She was healed. Hallelujah. She was healed. I remember many years I've left Kano. So one day I visited the people. I visited our fellowship people. We went on prayers. And then we're leaving. One woman, I said, hey, evangelist, come. So I came. I thought she had seed to give me. We entered the room. There was a crippled person. That was why she was calling me.
His only problem that they see and call evangelists.
Those days I was not a teacher now. I was an evangelist. Jesus, with fire. Oh, well, those days have to come back. With fire! The message is for 30 minutes. By the time I'm shouting fire, you can't see the fire. Fire. These people have gone. Fire. Fire. I was an evangelist. I prayed for the lady that was crippled. She began to walk. That's not a service, so they just called me, sick cripple. Wow. Began to walk. And I forgot about it. So it was when we were now coming back from where we were going, that the father of the lady was now, she's okay, she's okay. Oh, she's okay. Okay. Glory to God. You will not know what you are capable of until you sentence yourself to the life of prayer. Third point, quickly. I want us to finish the basics so that we can go deeper. Is it third or fourth point? Fourth point is understanding the Lordship of the Spirit. When you begin to walk with the Holy Ghost, you will now see that the Holy Spirit is Lord. Lord. Have you checked that scripture that said the Lord is that Spirit? Lord is that Spirit. He is a Lord Spirit, a King Spirit. Now, if you are relating with the King Spirit, there are several things that will be part and parcel of your relationship. Listen to me. Hallelujah. You see, before demons fell, are you with me? Before they fell, before angels fell and became demons. There are some demons, their estate before they fall, right? Was that they were service entities. They were errant spirits. So when they fell, they still maintained the disposition. So you can invoke through an incantation, the spirit will come. You can enchant, do some invocation, the spirit will come. Because the spirit's orientation is errand. So there is a more can summon them, they will come. You get? But unfortunately, the Holy Spirit is not an errand spirit. So you cannot invoke him. How many of you have cried before you went pain? You cried, he didn't come. How many of you? You cried, huh? Mommy. He no come. Because he's a King Spirit. He can't be summoned. Sorry. It is you that will learn his ways, not that you will summon him. No, you learn his ways. You learn how you're praised, and then you align because he's a King Spirit. He is beyond summoning. You will learn that very soon when you begin to walk with him. I've gone to fast for 7 days before. God didn't speak to me. I say, Oba. You know, there are some times when there is silence in heaven. God is not speaking that time. Oba. So me, I now left. 2 days later, I was doing my own thing. She now came to me. That's when he feels like coming. You will never understand the mercy of God until you begin to walk with God. The reason why he came to talk to you is because he had mercy on you. Not because there is any of us that is so skillful that knows how to know God. No. If he makes himself available, it's because he has decided to show you mercy. So, when you are walking with the King Spirit, you'll be careful so that you will not quarrel. For instance, God told Abraham, get thee out of thy country, get thee out of thy kindred, get thee out of thy father's house. I will go to a land that I will show you. Abraham is existing, is going on that journey at the mercy of God. So he can't quarrel with God on that trip because the compass will fail. Abraham has to be very obedient. And God has a lot of options of how to communicate to him. Maybe through a voice, maybe through a dream, maybe through a sign, maybe through a prophecy. I will show you. broad strokes, never told him the means by which the communication will be held, so he can come anyhow. And so Abraham was not to determine the channel. Abraham was not going to determine the time. Abraham was not going to determine the place where the utterance will come. Is that not a very risky kind of journey? So you have to be careful to be in the good books of the one that is leading you on that kind of a trip, so that there will be no quarrel. That's the kind of caution that you need to have in your heart, knowing that the day he decides not to show you mercy, you fast all you can. You will find out that the reason why you're fasting was yielding results in the first place was because somewhere along the line he decided to show you mercy, because you were able to achieve brokenness. You know, God has a weakness, the Holy Spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, he cannot despise it. It shines into him, and he compels him to operate. Now, so if you have some tricks you will learn on the way, as you are moving with the Holy Ghost, you will learn one of the tricks you will learn, which is what I cannot teach. This one is one of the ones that you need to learn yourself. I can't teach this one. It's how to achieve brokenness. Because that is the only guarantee that he will come and speak. So when we become more skillful in the spirit, you'll be able to achieve brokenness in your heart. And the easiest way to do that is to worship. Not worship a song you want to sing, but worship with a song that the Holy Spirit gives you. As you are going, you lose sight of yourself, your ambition. You lose sight of your preferences, and you gaze into his beauty. When he sees you like that, he will come. So now it is easier for me to inquire of God than it was before. Because based on experience, I have learned a few of his ways. I know the things that can move him. I know the things that if I do, he will pretend as if he didn't see me. So those ones are not profitable. So I've left those ones. So the ones that I do that he likes is the one I do. You will learn how to love. If you are working with the king spirit. You see, when Herodias' daughter came and danced, the king came and vowed that I'm going to give you anything up to half of my kingdom. So as you work with God, you begin to learn some skills on how to please him. Those ones cannot be taught. Although when we are talking about the story of love from the book of Songs of Solomon, I can teach you a few tips. But you will use the tips to get your own experience. Not that the tip is a formula. You will use it to what? Get your own experience. And then find how to appease him very well. Me, I've learned a few. But I cannot teach it because it may not be relevant to you. The way I can put it, in short, is learning how to achieve brokenness. A broken and a contrite heart, he will not despise. Taking spirit. Can't invoke him. You can't summon him. You can't cry and say your own case is so bad. And then you cry. When you finish crying, clean your eye. Go and sit down. You are not the first person to cry in this world. So it's not emotion that moves him. No, forget about that emotional thing. Maybe you used to manipulate your father by crying and doing emotion. He doesn't work there. His sincerity. He will look beyond the emotion and see a crooked person trying to manipulate. It means your wilderness journey has been extended. It's only a broken and a contrite heart. He is no longer trying to manipulate. I just need you sincerely. He will show up. Hallelujah. He will what? Show up. Then the hardest part is number 5. How to be led of the Holy Ghost. That's the hardest part. Meanwhile, all of these things are basics. We'll go into the applications of all these things as well. I'm not sure we'll be able to finish the course. The hardest part is how to be led of the Holy Ghost. Now, but I need to establish the theological context upon which that is based. Can you write in your note, just in case you have a note? You can write these things down. Oh, I wish I had a board.
Maybe I'll find a board tomorrow, but don't bother about a board now. What is the work of faith? Faith. Why do you need faith? Where does faith operate? What does faith feed on? Now, let me give you simple statements. It will help you. Faith, are you there? Is based on the finished work of Christ. Did you get that? Faith is based on the finished work of Christ. Let me explain that. There were several things that Jesus paid for on the cross. Are you with me? He did what? He paid for those things. Like your salvation, he paid for it. Your victory, he paid for it. So many things that he paid for. But you know you got your salvation by faith. You understand that? It was when you exercised your faith, when the message of salvation was preached, when you were convicted, you exercised your faith in the immortal Jesus. You acknowledged that he's Lord. You acknowledged that he's immortal. That was why he was raised from the dead. Huh? You confessed his lordship and his immortality. And then suddenly you became saved. You see, that faith operated based on the finished work of Jesus. And it is through that faith that you collected salvation. Salvation is finished in Jesus. So you collected salvation from Jesus by faith. It became yours. You get it? Now, so if God wants to give you more experience of himself, what he does is that he shows you more of himself. So when he shows you more of himself, you now exercise faith. I want this. It becomes yours. Okay. So faith functions on the finished work of Jesus, while obedience is based on the current work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Faith is based on what? The finished work of Jesus. Obedience is based on the current work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Did you get that? Oh my. Did you get that? Okay. Let me explain. Stay with me. Now, listen. The Bible, for instance, did not say that you would try to be holy. It did not say that God will help you to be holy. The Bible said Christ inside of you is holiness. You begin to walk in holiness when you allow Christ the liberty to live his life through you. That's not a changed life. That's an exchanged life. As long as you keep trying to be holy in the flesh, you will fail 7 times. Then you now discover that you are incapable of achieving this estimation of life. And then you now begin to beg God, rise up from within me and be holiness unto me. Rise up. Swallow up this appetite. Swallow up this infirmity. Then that's when he will stand up. So you will know that you knew that you had reached your end. That is when he now rises up. Do you have an anger problem that you have found it difficult to deal with? As long as you are trying to cure the anger problem, you will fail 7 times. But when you ask Jesus to live out a life of compassion and love through your life, and you are ready to be yielded to him for that to manifest through your vessel, you begin to see victory in the areas where you saw defeat before. You get that? Are you with me? Good. So that is the true teaching on holiness. It's not a code of conduct that we are bound by, but it is bringing your old creation, your fleshly life, your fleshly ability to death, so that Christ can live through our vessel. It is him that is holiness. It is him in us that is righteousness. It is him in us that is redemption. It is him in us that is sanctification. It is him in us that is wisdom. So the
victorious Christian life is for me to go out of the way and allow Christ to be revealed. That's what it is. Stay with me. You can write in your notepad again. Second PowerPoint. This one is hard to explain. I'm going to jump it. It's too hard to explain. Now, we'll do that in the morning. What Christ has accomplished gives us a position. And what the Holy Spirit commands gives us experience. What Christ has accomplished gives us a position. What the Holy Spirit commands gives us experience. So you will have a deficit of experience if you are not obedient to the Holy Spirit. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God in reality. Now, let me explain that statement. Some of you outside here, we have some empty seats here, about two empty seats. You can send two people from outside to come and sit down here. Amen. Listen. This is Brother Jude's pen. This is Brother Jude's diary. I put Brother Jude's pen inside of Brother Jude's diary. Then I travel with the diary to Kano. Where would the pen be? Somebody has another answer. I'm seeing a longer answer coming from the back. What? The pen will be where? Oh, man. The pen will be in Kano. Because the diary went to Kano, the pen will be in Kano. All right. Listen. God, by an act of his authority, puts you inside of Christ. Such that when Jesus died, you died. Because you cannot kill yourself. Only a spirit can do that for you. When Jesus was buried, you were buried. When Jesus resurrected, you resurrected. When Jesus ascended, you ascended. So your position now is ascension. And you got that position because of what Jesus did. Exactly. But you may not get the experience of that position. The experience of the position. And meanwhile, you may not even know which position you are. And maybe you read it in the Bible. We are seated with Christ far above in the heavenly realms, far above principalities and powers. Say, oh man. So I'm seated. So you don't even believe it because you don't have the experience. And then one day the Holy Ghost will now say, you just finished leading praise and worship. He now said, that brother with tie there, before you sit down, go and touch him. So you just went there. And then you now touched him. And then he falls off. Then the demon begins to come out of him. You see, you have an experience. The reason why the demon is coming is because you are seated far above principalities and powers. So your authority just manifested. So you now have the experience of your position because you obeyed a leading of the Spirit. You will not experience your position until you learn how to subscribe to the leading of the what? I remember I was at the airport and I was buying a ticket and they began to wheel a crippled woman close to me. When they began to wheel her, I felt charged. I now look around. Say, car, airport. Immediately I say airport, the anointing just left. So I was in the flight. I refused to eat. Because I was begging God. I was begging him. I begged him till I landed. And he didn't hear. Because I was still feeling empty, dry. I knew he was still offended. So I went to the room. I laid down. I called on him by the blood. I was there until the people came to take me for the meeting that I flew for. They were knocking. I was still there by the blood. By the blood. Because there's no reason to go out there when you and him have not settled. When the people knocked and they became tired, they now began to wait. It was just that time he came and said, peace. Then inside, the peace went. Ah, so I stood up with that peace. It was fragile, but I was maintaining it. Very fragile. I followed them. If I talk too much, I managed it. Came to the pulpit. Then I now, Holy Ghost came to my rescue. He now gave me a song, and the song came faint. I picked it. I spoke to the man of the keyboard. It struck. It was when I sang that song that my vessel was filled again. You know what? I can never try that again. God will give you experiences. When you fail, He will torture you so that you will be purged from that kind of position that made you fail that time. Give me sound there. Strings. He will purge you. He will purge you. You know what? Unfortunately, this one is unfortunate. Let me quote a scripture. John chapter 6, verse 63. So tonight is just the basics. We'll move into demonstrations of the Spirit tomorrow. Demonstrations of the Spirit. You know, when you became filled with the Holy Ghost, what was the initial evidence of your being filled with the Holy Ghost? You spoke in tongues. You are not Kai. Bonnie, this young man is off track. Deliver, come on, deliver him. It's off. He's in a strange place. A lie. Don't believe him. Bonnie, go there. Bonnie. That's not. I want to do practicals now. That's why I'm. If the sound is playing is not from heaven, he can't help us. Change that your sound. The sound is wrong. Before you play, the sound is wrong. Listen. When I sang that song, the Holy Ghost was happy. I said, you're happy? I sang again. He was happy. Hey! And while he was happy, he now forgot himself and touched me here. Pop! And that touching has a meaning. Pop! I said, anytime he wants me to move into action, he touches me. So he touched me big. Ooh. I said, ooh. Jesus. I was being animated for action. So he was pleased. It is when he becomes your friend and you start learning how to be led of him, you will know what it means for you to lose your peace. You will know. You don't know now. You lie in the morning. Come here, you steal money. Take money. I say, is it not the same family? You can live like that. You don't need his presence. That's why you are doing that. When you start sensing the need for him, there are many things you stop doing. There are many things you stop doing. Many things. Don't worry, the sound is good. I know you are finding it difficult to program it to get my sound. The keyboard is bad. But before next month, we'll go and buy another one. Because my ministry depends on sound. You know, when I was walking in the Holy Ghost, he now said, I want to show you something. You know what? The Bible says our life is hid. We are dead. And your life is hid where? In Christ and Christ in God. So your experiences are the only experiences you will ever have spiritually that are valid and healthy experiences are experiences that are in Christ. Let me explain. Christ died, Abby. You will experience his death in him. He will apply that death to parts of you that are still living under by the power of the old creation. You apply that death there. If you are such a proud person, I wonder. He will allow you to make a fatal mistake that will put you in trouble. And you will cry. You cry to him. Like one man, if so angry, then one day he woke up and struck his wife. His wife fainted like a dead woman. Ah! And he knows his in-laws. His in-laws, they don't charge like him, but they kill. Him is charging. His in-laws, they don't shout, they just kill. The human feather. He cried to God. I said, God, if you deliver this one, this is the last day that I'll be as he begged. Hey, then we will beg and look at the woman. She's not breathing. She was like that for 45 minutes. Then she sneezed. He made tea for her. He changed. The guy changed. Yes. Yes. He allowed you to enter where you will beg your way out. He leaves the scar on your heart. And he reminds you of it. Anytime you pray, he will now give you a snapshot of when you were begging. Remember how I took you from sheepcote. You have not yet. You have no need for his presence. That's why you can do everything. You can look at a woman lustfully and say, oh my God. If you are looking for his presence, you can't look twice. As you looked once, you move. Why? Because if he takes you, you will lose your peace. The thing I fear most is to lose my peace. I don't fear your gun, but I fear losing my peace. It's like it's as if God is going. I know why I can talk. I can talk because he's with me. The day he goes, I begin to stammer again. He has left before. And all the symptoms of stammering I was delivered from, he came back and it was worse. So I saw how I would have been in the sheepcote. Now, it's him that improved. You have not yet sought for his presence. That's why you can get angry. You can shout. I said, do you know me? Give me volume. If you can. John chapter 6, verse 63. He said, it is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits not. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That is to say, Jesus is teaching us. He's teaching us that they are words that are spirit. They are also words that are life. Think about that. Not thief language. You see, the words I speak, they are not a dumb language. They are not thief language. They are words that are spirit. Words that are. This scripture has troubled me for many years. What do you mean by words that are spirit? Then he gave me an example. He said, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, through prayers and supplication, coupled with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. And the peace that passeth all understanding. Can you see that peace is not cognitive? It is non-cognitive. The understanding cannot understand it. It is a communication that transcends your human understanding. Those are words that are life. Because that peace, when you receive words that are life, there is a ventilation on your heart. You sense life gushing out. Have you ever had that experience? Peace, like a well. And it breaks out into your system. It doesn't matter what circumstance you find yourself. If that peace is there. You can go through it and survive. Peace! That was the response to all of the prayers and the supplication and the thanksgiving. How did it come? It came in form of peace. Beyond your understanding. So the first kind of communication that you will learn how to be led by is what I call non-cognitive communication. Words that are spirit. You will have to master the non-cognitive communication before you master the cognitive communication. Before God will begin to take your mind along when he communicates to you. First of all, he will communicate without your mind. He will direct the communication in such a way that your heart will receive it, but he will exclude your mind from the experience. You know why? Oh, you are not with me. Should I shock you? 70% of the communication of God comes in that non-cognitive form. Some of you prayed and fasted, you felt God didn't answer. He did. You just didn't know that the answers were contained in words that are spirit. Words that are life. How many of you have ever lost your peace before? You lost your peace. That's communication. It's complete communication. Because I said, you know, communication from the immortal realm is different from communication in the mortal realm. The purpose of power from the immortal realm is different from the purpose of power from the natural realm. Peace that passeth all understanding. I went to a transport company. I bought a ticket to travel. After buying the ticket, I entered the vehicle and I lost my peace. And the peace was so lost that it was lost. It was so lost that I couldn't find it. I tried. It was gone. So I came back. Went to the cashier asking for my money. He got violent, got angry, insulted, and gave me my money and deducted 100 naira as my penalty for stressing his life. That bus left. The other one was now loading the next one. I entered, had peace, so I went to him again. I said, now I've decided to travel. That time he didn't shout again because he had concluded I was a madman. So he just gave me the ticket. That is that's concluded. This one is mad. At Akwanga, the first car had an accident. And it was so ghastly that they had to take all the passengers to the hospital. The only thing that was left in the car was the bread the people buy. And whoa, they bought bread. It was only the bread that filled the car. I've always said it and I'll say it again. The difference between life and death many times was a loss of peace. Just a sign, little sign. You must perfect non-cognitive communication. That's what some of you people say. Something told me is non-cognitive. You can't put it to human words. You must know how to deal with communication that has spirit. Communication that are alive. That's how we know one that had gained age in grace. You are waiting for the day God will give you a clear word on the pulpit. You will wait for long. Long time. I will show you when we start the practicals. I will soon pray. Then ask him to open the anointing for that dimension. Because I know him, he will come. Then I will ask him to make the anointing mild so that the hall will still be intact. I can be teaching with manifestation. It's tomorrow we'll enter the course. This is an introduction. It's a school. Have you ever had a burden? Something weighed upon your heart. Then your understanding is unfruitful. It makes you wonder. How many of you have had that experience? A body. Do you realize that most of what you have at the book of Isaiah, first of all, came as a body? Yes. It came like that non-cognitive communication. So that burden led Isaiah to pray. It was in the prayer that the disclosure of what the burden was disclosed. Most of Isaiah came as burdens. But you have received 1,000 bodies without knowing the meaning. You will hear the prophets of old say, the burden of the Lord that came to me in the days of so and so. It was the burden of the Lord. When he began to pray and exercise himself, a burden was like a call to participate. A call to participate. A call to participate. God needs your help. That's what a burden is. He needs the voice of a man on earth for him to have legitimacy to do the things that he wants to do. So he co-opts a prophet into the agenda and vests upon his heart a burden. Then if you are a responsible believer, you begin to pray on it. You begin to pray on it. You pray for 2 days, the burden has not yet gone. You pray on it. 3 days, it has not yet gone. They are not dissipated. A believer that does not know what it means to be led by the Holy Ghost cannot be entrusted with a burden. There are burdens you will labor on for 24 days before it breaks open. And when you finish praying the burden, your job has not finished. It was a non-cognitive communication. So you need to go further to find out what the burden was. That was how these prophets wrote these books. It came as intercessory burdens. Having dispensed of the burden, they now prayed to search into the burden. Then they now received it in cognitive prophetic encounters. A burden is a song. It's a call to participate. It is a complete communication from the realm of God. Words that are spirit and words that are life. What did you do with the last one you had? Say there was lecture. So you ran off for a lecture. And while they were teaching you, and what's this? What they call that formula that they derive? No, it's in mathematics. Huh? Schrodinger. And while you were engrossed with Schrodinger equation, the burden dissipated because God saw that if he leaves you with that burden, there will be darkness on it. So he transfers the burden from him. Say, this guy has given his life to Schrodinger equation. He transfers it and moves it to somebody else that is more passionate. That person will be crying, Holy Spirit, I need you. Okay. First assignment, transfer this body. And then that one begins to labor. He goes for the Schrodinger equation, class, finishes the class, goes back to the body. You would think it's school he came for. But he and God knows he is there to attend to bodies. That's his first assignment. School can come alongside. And he begins to press into it. Then he dissipates it. When he dissipates it, he now says, God, but what troubled you like this that you made me feel your trouble? What was the problem? Now say, the daughters. This is a day of blasphemy, a day of rebuke. For the daughters are brought to bed, and there is no strength to bring forth. He has caught, he understands the burden of the Lord. Now, how many of you have received a stirring from the Lord? A stirring is an activation for action. One day they brought a madman here, and then they called me from home. I was praying in the car when I was coming. And when I came, Pastor Chris was on ground. I called him, and I called Joshua. I said, come with me. We now went to the madman. When he was here, when I came here, I felt it staring, as if he was switching me on. Then I knew that he had plans to heal the madman. Oh, glory. I laid my hands upon him. I said, let's pray. We prayed for 12 minutes and the madman slept in my hand. I put him down. Went into the office. Came back with my tools. Told them, when he wakes up, give him food. I left. Went back home because it was Christmas Day. I had to catch up with the activities.
was the guy that they said never sleeps.
I was praying for him. 13 minutes, he slept in my hand. He woke up and smelt his garment. Where am I? Then he thought we brought him for ritual. He wanted to escape. We heard him.
Kai,
you are not yet healed. There is a language we speak by the Holy Ghost. And that's when brethren prayed for him. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit. The parents wanted to take him. Said, no, he's on admission for 3 nights. We taught him how to do night vigil. Don't release him quick. Give him what he needs so that when the demons come back, you say, I know you. I was scared. Activated by God's Spirit. And I knew it was time for action. I did not lay my hands in the flesh. I laid my hands because I was dead. It's a language. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. Anywhere you are sitting, you can pray. Say, Lord, help me to understand your language. Language by which you communicate to the human spirit. Indeed, your name is the Father of all spirits. You can reach any spirit anytime you want. You can reach my spirit. You have been reaching my spirit many times. It's just that I don't understand your language. Help me to know your language. Words. Words that are spirit. Words that are life. Words. Spirit words. Living words. Kovenahila Harabota. When God wants to deliver you from drought, spiritual drought, He begins to teach you how to recognize words. I was wondering how Moses was able to read the writings on the tablets of stone. In what tribe, what language did God write? Words. Words that are spirit. Aletomine sahi kamahabanda. Ibra sata balatos keza natelia marabande. Are the ancient of the You can be seated. You know, the lecture has not finished. I just wanted to get into the mood so that I can teach. Now listen, we'll do some practical. I will tell you what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, how I'm hearing it, the sign that I'm receiving, so that you will discover that 70% of the communications of God are not in words. Now an angel has come. How do I know? You know, the scripture says words that are spirit and words that are life. When words that are life are spoken, you feel ventilation in your heart. When words that are spirit are communicated, it brings a sign, sometimes in your spirit or a sign on your body. Now, how many of you have had this experience before? When you pray, you feel something on your head. That's communication. It's just that you don't know what it means, but it's effective communication. Because when angels come, when in the school of the spirit, when God taught me, he said, they will touch this my finger. That's how we know. So now they just touched it. Are you with me? That's communication. The next thing for me to do now is to find out, why are they here? Why? Bro, oh, your organ has died. Just leave it. Don't be smart. Don't be too smart. You miss God when you are too smart. Play. Just play. If the volume is low, don't worry. Just play. Because I want to find out. There's a lot of inquiries you will do with God. A lot of inquiries. If you are going to be a great man of God, great woman of God. Now this is how to do inquiry. That's why I say stop. Pray in tongues quietly, not loud. That loud tongues you are praying most times distracts you. Can we go low? So let's pray now. Now notice why we are praying in tongues, to conduct an inquiry, to know why the angels are here. Let's go. Quietly. But be focused. Be focused. Be focused. Be focused. Speak in tongues quietly. No, it's too quiet. It's too quiet. Raise it. Elamo. Stop. Stop. I've seen one. I've seen one. Listen. Are you still here? Seen one. What I saw is, I saw somebody, and an angel of the Lord was standing by the person's bed when the person was about to sleep. And I saw that the dreams that the person has been having has angelic sources. Angelic sources. Now, so God wants to identify this person. See, so the angel, because this is the instruction the angel has, to identify those people that God has been giving angelic dreams. See that? Are you with me? Oh my, you're not with me. Now, don't get lost. This is practical. There's nowhere in the Bible where we are commanded to give commands to angels. There's no example for that. You don't give commands to angels. Angels don't respond to you. Yes, are you higher than angels in the ranking of heaven? Yes, you are. In the organogram of the spirit, the Bible says the head of Christ is God, God the Father, then Christ. then man, then angel, then beast. That's the organogram. But the fact that you are higher than angels in the hierarchy doesn't give you the right to command them. That's not the protocol. The Bible says angels obey the biddings of God. The biddings of who? That's why Jesus, when he was on the cross, said, I will pray the Father. Jesus said he will do what? Pray the Father. And he will send 12 legions of angels. I had to put that clarification down because now I will pray the Father. You know it's practical. Alright, let me pray the Father. The Father will identify, will give command to that angel to identify that one that is being visited by angelic beings and giving dreams. You know why this has to happen? Because God wants to begin to give the person understanding to the dreams that the person has been having. This person has been enjoying the spirit of revelation without the spirit of wisdom. So there's no understanding for the dreams that have been released. The impartation that will come on the person is the impartation of the spirit of wisdom. That's why God will have to send the angels. Is that clear? Alright, so let me pray now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask, oh God, anywhere that person is, that vessel that you want to give the spirit of wisdom. You have been encountering this vessel. You have been encountering this vessel. Visit them, so that we will know them. The one that is outside to visit her. Visit them. Ushers, bring them for me. Now it's practical. Bring them for me. Let it come strong on them. Let it come strong. Now ushers, bring them. Visit them. Please, hold the class, okay? Stay tuned. Visit them. Now, I just want to teach, okay? Pastor, for instance, you have a lot of power in your vessel that you are not seeing. Don't worry, I'll pray with you. You will go back and you will begin to see miracles. Now, Lord, those ones that need the impartation of the spirit of wisdom, I ask that if they are still remaining inside or outside, touch them so that we can... Now listen, you are not listening. Look at me. Are you here? Now, what I'm doing is practical. It's not straight ministration. Stay with me. Please, bring that lady. Are you so weak? Oh. Oh my God. Now, ushers, be eating before you come for a meeting, please. What? Now listen. Don't command any angel, they won't hear you. Pray the Father and he will. Now it's the school of prophets. Listen. Are you hearing me? Those of you here, please listen. Something wants to happen, and I need to tell you. I need to explain it before it happens. Listen. Are you listening? Now, this lady is a prophet by calling. All right. Yeah. So for some time, she has not been operating from her office. So what is happening to her is that she is being reconnected to her office. Eh? So her own encounter will be more than this one's. The proof that she has been filled up is that she will begin to prophesy. This one. She will begin to prophesy. You will see it. Not. You, she will begin to prophesy. 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 She. See. You see that? She will begin to prophesy. She will begin to prophesy. No. Don't look like that. See that? You can judge it. You can judge her words in the spirit. You can judge it in the spirit.
Lekala rest. Lekala breeze. Zikala brat dala. Lekala putole tele. I'll give you rest on every side. Zikala tle. Because then I promise. I bring it to pass. Zekala brought the land. Lekala. Every tear seems shit. Zekala brought the land. I've been bought love. Lekala brought the land. Lekala bring answers. For every question that you questioned my integrity. Lekala for your life. Lekala brought the land. Lekala the land. Yekala brought the land. Yekala brought the land. I will settle you on every side. I'll give you peace. I will restore you fully. Lekala potutele tile. Lekala. Yekala. Your desert experience is over. Yekala potutele tile tile. See a diver that is diligent in what he does. Lekala potutele. He will stab you before King Solomon. Lekala potutele. Lintele Bogole Potele Likele, because Samuel told Abraham, I reward you, Eli. Lekele Protele Sikele Likele, your children shall be called blessed. Lekele Protele, none of your seed shall wonder. Lekele Litele Likele Potele, and when you ask me, questions. I'll give you answers. Like a lepro to the lepro to the letila. Like a lepro to the letila. I am a consuming fire. I don't fight battles on only victims. Like a lepro to the letila. For everyone that has fought you. Like a lepro to the letila. I'm here to raise walls against them. Like a lepro to the letila. All your oppressors. Like a lepro to the letila. It's time for them to oppress themselves. You've been disgraced for too long. You cannot press them. And we wipe those tears. Because I am Jesus. You cannot press them. I am God Comforter. You cannot press them. I am God Comforter. Restorer. You cannot press them. I will comfort you on every side. Ah, that's what I've become to you. Your comforter. Anyone who questions my dealings with you, I will give them answers. You cannot put to the left, but to the left, but to the left, but to the left. You cannot put to the left.
Are you still with me? You are not with me. Most of you are not ready. Most of you are not ready. Now, As I was saying, stay with me. You are confused. Stay with me.
Stay. Now. Leave her now. She's doing her own. We are still in the lecture. Now, that's one of the thrones that have been activated. There are many, many people that will be activated during the course of this conference. First of all, can you stretch your hand? Let's pray for these ones. Just pray. Don't shout. Pray small, small. Pray small, small. Oh, yeah. Let's pray. Pray for them. Let this spirit of wisdom be imparted. Let the spirit of wisdom. Let the spirit of wisdom be imparted. Let the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. Let it be imparted. Let it be imparted. Let it be imparted on this lives. On this lives. On this lives. On this life. Ike meholo salabate. Asese nekonde heze nahike. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Listen. Are you still with me? Now I'm seeing someone, you have a hearing problem. I'm seeing somebody with a hearing problem. One of your ears doesn't hear properly. And the Lord wants to heal you. Now, hon, go outside. I will ask a question so that you can. If anybody is answering me outside, you take note, okay? If there is anybody that has a problem with one of your ears hearing properly in the hall, outside the hall, one of your ears, yes, we have one. The person I'm actually referring to is outside, not inside. And you know I cannot see outside. The person I'm talking about, you have a hearing problem and you are outside. Horn, Sylvester, bring the person for me. Now, there's no way I can know who is outside. Alright? Now, the question is, how did I know? What did I see? This one was a vision. A quick vision. The one for Angel was a touch. This one was quick vision. Now you see, from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, the power of God will begin to touch her. And you know I'm not touching her. There's no physical contact. But you see, that angel that I'm speaking about is touching her. So me, I'm just doing like a human being, stretching my hand in her direction. And then she's shaking. She's shaking. She's vibrating. Then the vibration will intensify as I go closer. See? Now, you might ask me, why am I doing what I'm doing? I have a leading to do it. And it was not a voice. It was a sign. Non-cognitive. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you touch the ear. Touch the ear. You deafening spirit, leave her. Let her go. Lose her ears. Come out. See, one has gone. Now, she's been healed now. Which of your ears? Okay, cover it. Mommy, cover the ear that cannot hear very well. She's been healed. Hallelujah. Okay, God has spoken to me that somebody will receive the gift of healing after this time. So I'll pray for you. Do you believe me at all? Hallelujah. When all of us can do this, all of us. So if I'm on a crusade ground and the crowd is 1 million, it is nothing to me. It's the same signs that he will give me. And it's more powerful outside than inside. I'm trusting God for next year we'll go out. You will not believe what you will see. Not because it's a powerful man. All of us can be powerful. My God. Okay, Lord, in the name of Jesus, now I bind deafening spirits. I bind deafening spirits, and I command you in the name of Jesus. Release your victims. Release your victims. Release your victims. Release your victims. Here. Here now. Here now. Here now. Here now. Now, one of you have been healed. Sylvester, help me inquire from that lady on the ground. One of the people. But you can check your ear. But I know one has been healed. One has been healed. Check your ears. Close the ones that can hear. And find out if you can hear properly. One of you has been healed. I know in my spirit. So check it and let us know. One of you has been healed. The woman on the ground, is she hearing us? Oh, test. Please test. Test. Listen to me. I'm going to release. Yes. I say one has been healed. The Holy Ghost normally speaks more than one time. Once has the Lord spoken, twice have I heard. You will hear it many times. But it's just once he spoke, but it resounds. Because he doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change his mind. Yes, if the condition has not changed, we'll pray again. But I know that one of you, your healing has been released from above. It's healed, but it's not clear well. Okay, just hold on. To be clear well. Hold on, to be clear. Are you still with me? Now, so I want to release a healing anointing, the gift of healing. One of the assignments of an apostle is to impart spiritual gifts. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that one in this congregation, either inside or outside, in the choir, on the minister's stand, in the media room, in the technical room, that you want to release the gift of healing upon, I ask that you lower your hand and touch that line. It's coming. Just wait for him. You can't contain his presence. You can't contain it. He's stronger than you, stronger than your will, stronger than your will. is stronger than your will. Ushers, I just want to touch them on the head, that's all. Now stay with me. Listen. If by any means, are you with me? You are not with me. Stay with me. Forget the manifestation. Stay with me. Huh? If you start walking with God for a while, are you here? Walking with God for a while, and you become His friend, you can do what this one now. This one, I'm not. He did not lead me. I want to lead myself. You know I'm his friend. So this place I'm standing now, I'm the one that brought myself here, not leading. Okay? Now I want to pray him to anoint one of these people. It's me that wants it, not him that is directing. Alright. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask of you, lower your hand. Anoint one of these ones. Lower your hand. Anoint one of these ones. Lower your hand. Okay. Anoint one of these ones. Lower your hand. And anoint. Lower your hand. And anoint. He has chosen one of you. Lower your hand. Let it come stronger. He has chosen one. He has chosen one. He has chosen one. You see, I feel it on my hand. Lower your 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 hand. Now, this lady is, this one is my own prayer, personal prayer. That is, a time will come when your personal prayer, what it will create, will be equivalent to when you are led to do something. So I can come at the bus stop and stand there and say, you, come. Today, receive this. It's not God that led me. Of course, he's my friend. He has allowed me that one. I can pull my shoe now, not by leading, and give one of these people to wear, and you will not be able, they'll fire away. Actually, walk with God, you'll not be normal. You'll not be normal. I don't want to start many things now. Because some of you are seeing this for the first time, so you might think there's one power. It's using one thing. That's why I don't want, if not, I would have removed this my jacket and given you to wear. When you try it. But you will say I'm using something. And when the Holy Ghost has found a man, he feels him and feels everything he touches. Usher. One usher come. This one is not God, it's me that's doing it. Because I know God feels a man and feels everything he touches. See what you will do. You'll be going there, this rover, and looking for somebody. Carry this thing, you hit them small like this. When you hit the person, you will know. Not big, like this. Like this. Well, come. Follow my instruction. This is one rule. Go like this first. Go like this. Before you reach the end, you would have seen my person. Start again. Hallelujah. We are going to pray. Now run away. But I'm looking for somebody. Go and check. So you can come now. We have work to do. We have work to do here. Discernment is inside of your spirit. Are you with me? Is what? As you look upon the person, inside, it's not suspicious. You might even like the person so much, and then yes, are you doing my work? You're doing it. You're doing it. If you finish, you let me know. I wanted. It was because the person was close that I started feeling it. Now, how can handkerchief do that kind of work? But you need to know the presence of God. Presence. You can pray and pray and pray and worship and pray and pray and pray and carry prayer shawl and cover yourself. And then you remove it and keep it somewhere. A thief comes and he holds that thing and he can't move again. Oh, you don't believe. Now, how was she identified? It was a mantle that struck her. The Bible says, and God wrought special miracles through the hands of Paul. Handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from him. Those handkerchiefs, those aprons, when they put them on people that were possessed, the demons were cast, the demons left. Put them on the sick were healed. And Paul was not there. Hallelujah. Where is my handkerchief? Usher has taken my handkerchief. Eli tekosalima. Now, so there are some points you can use your faith to enter into power. But that one is an advanced class. I have not taught you how to do it yet. If you do it, it won't work. I need to teach you. Alright? And obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit is the trigger to power. But you need to master how to perceive that voice, especially the non-cognitive voice communication. We wait on you, Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you. Don't sing hard, don't sing hard. Lord, we wait on you. Don't sing hard. We wait on you. Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you. We wait on you. Lord, we wait on you. Oh my God. Lord, we wait. And you say there's excitement in Champions League. It's not true. If you see the things I've seen, you won't want to come down. Lord, we wait. It's you I'm seeing. Bonifit. Oh. We wait on you. Alendokosimana. Lord, we wait on you. We can't finish this work. Rise up, let's close. We can't finish. But there's sanitation, Adi. There's sanitation tomorrow. So when are we going to take off? 9:30. Alright, 9:30. We'll take off 9:30. Sit down. Sorry. Now let the offering baskets go round. Offering baskets go round. So choir, you can take over. Don't sing too strong on the mic. We wait on you. We wait on you. Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you. We wait on you. Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you. We wait on you. Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you. We wait on you. Oh Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you. I saw you.
Lord, we wait.
And your wife. You were holding a worship concert in Abuja.
We wait on you.
And the power of God began to drop on the congregation. A worship concert, you and your wife. It was a strange moment. The grace was intense and power.
We wait on you. We wait on you. Lord, we wait.
Now, if you have casted your offering, begin to pray and say, Lord, in this conference, I want to get everything you have available.
We wait on you.
I want to have everything.
We wait on you.
Let my spiritual senses be activated.
Lord, we wait
so that I can begin to soar in the spirit. I can understand the life, the possibilities that are bound in the spirit.
Lord, we wait on you.
I don't want to be like John the Baptist.
We wait.
That did not fulfill his measure. But I'm asking,
I'm asking, Lord. I'm asking, Lord. I'm asking, Lord. This is the time.
Lord, we wait on you.
Monte la zina horabaze mina. If you have cast your offering, you can join us now. We wait on you, Lord. We wait. And say, Lord, I came to wait for you on you these days. Let there be a response from heaven. Open my understanding so that I will be able to recognize the language of the Spirit, so that messages that you transmit in my direction will not be lost. I will be able to comprehend what is expected of me, what you intend me to do. That's why we came. That's why we came. That's why we came. That's why we came. Glory to your name, Lord.
We wait.